Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things, we don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also, our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves as we are women. We are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. It's a pleasure to have you with us here on Sedona Talk Radio, iTunes, and we are also on Pyramid One Network. Isn't that fabulous? So we are across the globe, just here to share a lot of our ideas and inspiration and help plant some seeds so that eventually you may say, ah, I heard that someplace else before. And hopefully you can come back and say, I did hear it here. So we can follow through and say, how can you help me? Today we're going to be talking about weight loss. Now it is June 2nd and we're saying, oh, the summer's here already. I don't care about weight loss. It's not going to do any good. Or maybe I'll go to the drugstore and get some of those pills and, you know, it'll shake it all off in just 30 days and I'll be great for the 4th of July. Well, good luck with that. You know, as we always say, you know, so many things, if it was really great and it really did the job, the world would be all taking it in and, hey, it would be the tried and true and everybody would be doing it. So I really guess that your weight loss and your fat on your body is really there for a purpose, to teach you something. What is it really there to teach you? Are you eating correctly? Are you not eating correctly? Are you in a rush? Are you stressed? Maybe you have some health issues. Maybe you have some medication issues. Maybe there's some other things you need to look at in your life. Wouldn't that be great if we could figure all these answers out? Well, a little bit at a time. Today we're going to be taking a little bit piece of that map, and we're going to be talking about how much goes on your dish. And everybody says, I am so not going to eat, you know, those TV dinner sizes that are, you know, in the grocery store. And that's not at all what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about weight loss by science, as I call it. And the author is Dr. Sandeep Grewal, and he is an MD, and he's also the co-author of Fat Me Not, Weight Loss Diet of the Future. And he also is the co-inventor of the Slim Plate. Sorry, we'll do that again. Slim Plate system. So it'll be a great talk today. We'll be able to get a few tips and say maybe that's something I want to try. So Dr. Sandeep, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thank you. You know, don't you think, you know, June 2nd and everybody's out, you know, how fast can I do it, right?
You're right. The beach season is here, and we all want to get fit and look good on the beach.
Yeah, depending where you live. Hey, I live in the deep south. We're not going to the beach in the summer. It's too darn hot. We'll go there in September. Well, you know, Dr. Sandeep, how did you get started with, you know, even with weight loss? Because I'll tell you, that is an enigma that, yeah, do I really want to even put my foot in that fire?
You're right. Well, I'm an internist, and we see primarily patients as their family doctors. So when we are coming and they're coming to us, we are treating them for their many diseases. What we realized was that patients who are obese, they are more likely to be on more medicine because they have more medical problems. And then we thought to ourselves that if we can fix obesity, we can fix our patients' lot of problems. And as we got deeper and deeper into it, I found out that the weight loss diets that we do nowadays is based on the research done in 1950s and 1960s. The low-carb diet, the low-fat diet, all these research were done in 1960s. And since then, we have so many advances in weight loss, but none of them coming to general public because most of it is deeply buried in the scientific journals in complicated language. So we decided to make it our goal to help people lose weight based on the latest science so it's easy for them to do it.
You know, I think it's so interesting. You know, when people are looking for new ideas now that the internet is out, they're saying, well, I want to go back and see how it used to be done. You know, and maybe that's a great way to do it today. So they keep pulling up all of this old stuff out of the past instead of saying, where are we today and how are we going to go forward? And I really think that's what your book is all about. Here's where we are today and how are we going forward? You know,
I think you're right.
We understand that food is not what it used to be. Great, we got it, you know. And they are saying, oh, well, let's start raising up our beds to grow our food. Well, that really didn't make much difference, people, you know. Or, you know, let's talk about putting in compost. Some people are composting some of their stuff that's got more pesticides. What happens when those things start to deteriorate? You get a higher concentration. You know, we even look at things, you know, when you start to have a drought. They say there was a map out the other day about how much arsenic was in water. And if you look at it for recent studies and testing from last month, it was very high in the drought areas. Well, no kidding, because you have less water, it's denser, and it has more concentration of all of these things that you don't need there. So really, it's all about, you know, paying attention to say, where are we today and where are we going forward? Because all of that other stuff is water under the bridge, you know? You can't always be going back to the past to try to recreate it. What we can do, though, is clean it up. And I think that's really what you're talking about here is about cleaning it up. You know, we don't need to have pesticides. We don't need to have fast foods. We don't need to do those things. But what we can do is start to eat again. And really, that's the basis of your entire weight loss system is start to eat again. Don't you think?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, because we know that there are many great ways to lose weight, which are so easy to do, but because they are so easy to do, we all feel that maybe they don't work, and we always look for a complicated solution, but the idea is to look for an easy solution based on science so that it really works.
And, you know, it's so interesting. I mean, I'm the queen of losing weight, let me tell you, but you know what? I never really had to pay much attention to it. I was always thin until I think 55 or so. And, you know, try this, try that, do this, do that. You know, the natural stuff, the not natural stuff, you know, the pills, the shakes, everything. And I think sometimes our bodies get so confused, they don't know which way is up, you know. It's sort of like someone on, you know, having their life that is just isn't working for them, and it isn't working for them because you don't know what you're going to get the next day. Is your body saying you're going to eat a green today and it's expecting it and you don't? So kind of there's so much confusion in our mind, our thoughts, and what we do with our body. Our body can't be a functioning machine if we aren't even following the path to be able to get that machine to work. And that's really what you're talking about is what can you give the machine to get it to work instead of trying to manipulate it in your own process.
Absolutely, because we try to take out food groups from our body, and I always tell my patients that you have to be very careful that what diet you go on so that it would really work for you. We have to look for three criteria in a diet. Number one, it has to be easy to do. If a diet is not easy to do, then you won't be able to keep the weight off too long. Number two, it should allow real food. And like you said before, if we go away from our real food that we are used to eating, we cannot sustain that kind of a diet, and that kind of a diet is just doomed to fail. And number three, any diet that we go on should improve our eating habits, because if it does not improve our eating habits, we go to square one once we stop dieting. So it is very important that what diet we choose and which is a diet which is good for us to work is the one which our body is asking for.
Yeah, because if you really think of your body as a machine that it needs vitamins and nutrients to be able to work, I mean, would you take your car out and say, I'm going to starve you of gas, you know, for the entire day because I think you need to lose a little weight. And maybe I'll give you some gas at the end of the day. And it's like, dude, are you really kidding me? That sounds so ridiculous, you know. But when you correlate it, it's the same thing. Your body needed fuel to be able to get up and take you to work today. Did you give it something? No. You know, you worked 10 hours today. Did you give your body the fuel to be able to do that? No. Or, and then you look at it and you say, what did you give it? Well, I don't know. I just ate at my desk and I ate at the car. And you think, oh, goodness gracious, what are you expecting? You know, it's what goes in will be able to keep your body going.
I think you bring up a great point because that's what we see all the time. We have people who diet and eat only once a day. Then many a time mm-hmm. we don't eat breakfast. We try to skip our dinner or lunch. And all these methods of losing weight really do not cause weight loss. And when I looked into the science, what I found was that when we starve ourselves, when we don't give our car the gas, we are actually reducing our metabolism by 50%. So what is happening is that if we skip our breakfast, we are subjecting our body to almost 10 to 14 to 16 hours of fasting, and that reduces our metabolism. People who eat once a day are subjecting their body to fasting almost 23 hours a day, and that mm-hmm. reduces our metabolism up to 60%. So what that does is that if we eat a 1,000-calorie dinner once a day, it hits us like 2,000 calories just because our metabolism has been slowed down. So that's why it is very important that we give our car the gas, that we are supposed to eat when we are supposed to eat, because if we don't, we are doing negative. We are reducing our metabolism, making it harder for us to lose weight, and can even cause rebound weight gain.
Well, let's talk a little bit about food in itself, because so many people will say, as I said in the beginning, you know, I had that Italian, you know, that Italian special for dinner last night. But they couldn't possibly tell you what kind of nutrition was in it or what kind of even the basic components of that dish were. When really that's what we're talking about is getting back to the basic components of nutrition. You're not saying, you know, let's take a TV dinner out of the microwave and plop it down on your Slim Plate system and that's what you're having for dinner. That's not it. Because can you really decipher what's important there in the nutrition part? So, you know, what is really important in nutrition? We all talk about carbohydrates, fat, and protein. And when we start eliminating groups, I think that's when we get in real danger. There's a lot of people, you know, on the bandwagons of, you know, green drinks three times a day and not eating much else. And, oh, you'll get it in your green drink. Well, not everybody is as expertise as some of the nutrition people who are promoting that, because the nutrition people are saying, you know, they're getting it down, some of them. They're getting it down right, that they're putting in fats and proteins and all this other stuff. But you may be making changes and doing other things and not getting what you need. So really, let's talk about basics, you know, fat, carbohydrates, and proteins, and we can get into the Slim Plate system.
So let's talk about the food group. I think that's a great way to start this. And food group, basically we need is fats. We need carbohydrates, which are starches such as your rice, potato, pasta, bread, and what we eat. Then we need proteins. That's our chicken, beef, pork, eggs, legumes. These are all protein sources of protein. And then we got vegetables, which are also important because they give us a lot of fiber and they have a role in how fast glucose absorbs from your system. So when we talk about a low-carb diet or a no-carb diet, it is almost like going underwater because our body mm-hmm. needs carbs. Our brain can only use sugar as energy source. And if we try to eliminate carbs from our diet, we are doing two things. Number one, we are going underwater. We got to come out and breathe again. So whenever we stop that diet, we're going to eat way more carbs. Number two, what we are doing is we are actually increasing our cravings. And also, we are turning our diet from low-carb diet to high-fat diet because something is going to replace the missing carbs. When people go on a low-fat diet by taking fat out of from their diet, they are essentially turning into a high-carb diet, which by itself increases by binge-eating behavior and uncontrolled eating. And that happens because once you take one food group out from your plate, you do have to fill it with something else, and usually that something else is not a healthy option. Our body requires balanced diet. If we cannot give it to it, it is going to increase our cravings, making it hard for us to stick to any diet.
Yeah. I think, you know, just like as we use the correlation of the car, you know, if you say, well, I'm going to deprive you of oil for this week because that's a fat and you really don't need it because you're getting, you know, you're not, that's not what I want you to have. Who are we to decide what the car would need? So really, who are we to decide what our body would need by saying, well, you know, I don't like what I see in the picture, you know, when I look in the mirror, or what I see as a picture that I'm taking, so I'm going to deprive you of something. So are you really saying to your body, I'm depriving you of something that you need, and how that really is not maybe the best way to be thinking, right?
You're right, because when we are depriving ourselves, we say, okay, we go on a low-carb or a no-carb diet, and then our cravings kick in, and then we fail in the diet. It causes a loss of self-esteem. It becomes harder for us to go back on another diet again. So that's very important that we start the diet the right way and not set ourselves up to fail.
Yeah, and a lot of people are diet experts, you know, so they've been through a lot of these diets. So, but also, can you say that someone who's been a lot of these diets and they've been an expert and they've done all these different things, there's always hope for still losing weight because all you really need to do is just get it back into balance. The same thing with your car, you know, if you've put in the wrong stuff, just, hey, take it, get it all flushed out, cleaned out, start over again. And I think our body is always amicable to be able to say, I can still do it. Let's keep going. I can still do it, right?
I think you're absolutely right. And we just have to find out the right way to lose weight because that's very important. There are a lot of marketing messages and we get to see every day in our emails. They come on the television. They come in newspaper articles, internet. But we got to figure out what really works. And anything that works should have a scientific basis to it. And it may sound very easy. Sometimes losing weight could be very easy. Some things to remember, such as if you miss your breakfast, it would be harder for you to lose weight because you're slowing down your metabolism. It sounds very easy, but it is very effective. Another issue is, for example, many times if you have got a big cookie to eat, big cookie, when we eat it, it causes a rush of sugar in us. And when that rush of sugar causes an insulin spike, which is not good for us. We want a low insulin spike, not too high, because a high insulin spike in our blood causes calories to turn into fat. But a low insulin spike will consume those calories. So if you got a big cookie and you can divide it into four pieces and eat each quarter of that piece every 4 hours, that's better than eating the whole cookie at one time. It sounds very simple, but it does have scientific basis to it, and it does help you prevent weight gain from that cookie.
Now, Dr. Sandy, we're also not saying that you can buy a birthday cake on Monday morning and say, I'm going to have this done by the end of the day.
I would totally agree with you. Yeah, that's not it.
It's about, I think, looking at something differently and just saying, well, you know, I'm not going to totally deprive myself of that. Well, maybe I'll just buy a bag of those smaller cookies and say, maybe that would be a better idea and spread those out instead of saying, I've got to have that big one that comes at the bakery that's, Lord only knows how much lard they put in that cookie, right?
Well, you are absolutely right. And another thing that I found in the research that these cookies can do to us is they can hypnotize us into eating more. In one of the experiments, they give the rats a mixture of fat and sugar, which is basically cookies and cakes. They found out that when the rat ate this mixture of fat and sugar, it ate almost most of its calories of the day in the next 2-3 hours. So whenever we are on a diet and we are doing good, we say we are, you know, following exactly what we want to do, and then we go to this party where there's a big piece of cake sitting there, and we say, okay, I'm going to just eat this cake, and that's it, and I'm going to go back on the diet. But what that cake does to us is it changes our eating behavior over the next few days. It can make us eat more. So we have to be very careful what food group we choose to eat during the dieting. We have to be very careful about the portioning of it, more importantly, because if we eat only 2 finger breadth of that cake, we may be fine. But if we eat a really big piece of that cake or a cookie, it can change our eating behavior. So it's not just the calories we get from this cookies and cakes, but it is also that they change our eating behavior.
Dr. Sandeep, let's talk a little bit about the plate system, because I really find that this is important. So really what we're saying is that to get the correct foods on the plate in the first place and try to have them simpler. Like if we're saying veal parmesan, maybe we should just have a piece of veal and a piece of cheese. Those are two things separate, and maybe the sauce might be separate because that's tomatoes. So really, you might be getting some different food groups in there. You just have to separate them out instead of just slapping it all into one spot and calling it that, my protein group or something. So, right?
Well, I think you're right. And what the Slim Plate system does is it helps people separate these things out without having to go into the details of the science and put people through many different phases of weight loss. For example, the first stage of Slim Plate system we have is a high-protein diet. It's almost 50% protein people are supposed to take in the first month. And that automatically happens when they put their protein in the right place and their vegetables in the other place on the plate. The benefit of a high-protein diet is it increases energy expenditure, it increases satiety, it causes us to have high water intake, which can increase our metabolism almost by 30%. It also helps in glucose control and cholesterol control, and also high-protein diet is known to help with weight loss than a low-protein diet. The second thing is that portion distortion is very important thing we need to understand, that research shows that when you give anybody a large portion of the food in a big plate, they're going to eat it all. But if you give them the food in a smaller plate, they're going to eat less food. And the portions that you eat does not impact your satiety level. So it does not impact how much we are going to eat in the next meal. Even if we have a big portion in the lunch, does not mean we are going to eat less in the dinner time. So portion distortion is key, which needs to be corrected when we are trying to lose weight. And another thing, that's what we did with the Slim Plate, was to help people destroy that portion distortion and able to get the right portioning of the food, no matter which food it is.
Because you look at the plates in the Slim Plate system, it's a box that you would get, and there would be several different plates in there and bowls and a cup and a glass type measurement, and then there's also these cutter kind of things, and people would say, okay, this is like a chemistry experiment, I'm not understanding this. But really, when you separate them out and you start to say, this is for this, do you see this? This is a cutter for a sandwich. If your sandwich can fit inside this, you're good to go. And it's not also about, you know, how much can be outside of that square or how tall you can stack it. Hey, if we're an expert dieter, we know all about stacking. You know, hey, I'll take that small plate. I'll just see how high up it can go, right?
Well, you're absolutely right about that. But here's the thing. We all have to understand is that weight loss is an approximate science. It's not a perfect science. You don't have to be very perfect about the protein has to be this, or the calorie count has to be this, or you know, number of sugars have to be exactly 18, not less, not more. It is approximate. So even when we stack, the plates are designed that you still won't eat more than what you would usually eat without the plate.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times there's been diets out there that would say, this is, you know, you have to put it on the scale, you have to weigh it, then you have to put in some calculations, and then you'll get out your answer about how much you can eat or not. This is not a program that you're going to go absolutely crazy about. You're just going to put out the plate. It, you know, the color on the left might be proteins, the color on the right might be vegetables. Fill it, just sit down and eat and be done with it. It's not about, you know, what do I have to sit down and calculate? Do I have to read all these directions? It's just about eating.
Well, I think you bring it to the first point I had made, is that the diet that you choose has to be easy to do. And, you know,
right,
calorie counting, you know, checking on the calorie labels in the back, trying to eat food which you don't usually eat, all these things make our dieting difficult. We don't want to make it difficult. We want to make it easy, so we are setting it up for success.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people will say that my friend is doing this and my friend is doing that. And I really think that this book is very, very extensive for the listeners. The book is called Fat Me Not, Weight Loss Diet of the Future. And we're also talking about the Slim Plate System, which is a system that you should have with the book to be able to do this weight loss plan. And it's really very interesting to read the book. This book is by no means a quick read. This book is not over your head. This book definitely takes things to an easy, light level. There are a lot of myths in here that have been dispelled. There are a lot of conversations in here about fad diets. There are a lot of pictures. There's a lot of fun in the book. And I think it's so interesting to be able to read some of that and you say, oh, my goodness, that's me. That's me. I know I did that. You know, and you can say, all right, what can I do about that? And then there's your answer. You know, and I think it's just so much easier, you know, to be able to look through a book that's a little bit light, but also has a science behind it, and to be able to give us some guidance and direction.
Well, thank you for the kind words on the book. One thing also I would like to tell our listeners is about stress. We are all in stress. We always running around. We always trying to get to deadlines. We are doing, you know, getting this thing done, getting the kids from the school, going to work, trying to finish a project. Mm-hmm. And the stress causes release of steroid hormones in our body, something that they need to be very careful about. Steroids cause weight gain, so even though they may be produced by our body, so in turn, stress causes weight gain. And when we are running around with our schedule, not eating on time, we are starving ourselves because we are skipping meals, trying to meet deadlines. Mm-hmm. We are reducing our metabolism, so there's a second. And then the third thing we do is, because we don't have time to eat anything, we pick up a soda and we pick up a chips, and then we eat it, which is basically all sugar. So the combination of stress, starvation, and sugar, which we mentioned in the book too, is something that we have to be careful about. This is a deadly combination. It causes weight gain. So we got to control our stress, manage our schedule so that we have time to eat properly, eat regularly, and keep our metabolism high and prevent those steroids in our body from jumping up and down.
Yes, so it's so vitally important. So let's talk about inflammation also, because I think that's so vitally important. And people will say, I don't have a problem with inflammation. I take anti-inflammatories. I take steroids. My doctor's got it under control. He said, no problem. Don't worry about it. Really?
Right. Well, inflammation is now known to be the key factor which causes most of the diseases such as diabetes, heart attacks, strokes, cancers. And we know that the fat which accumulates in us eventually turns into what we call is a sick fat. Now, what is a sick fat? Sick fat is a bad kind of fat which releases these inflammatory chemicals and causes disruptions throughout our body. For example, if it goes into our brain, inflammatory chemicals, a lot of inflammation in our brain goes on, it can cause memory loss, it can cause depression, it can cause fatigue, lack of energy. If we have a lot of inflammation in our pancreas, we get diabetes. If there's a lot of inflammation in the blood vessels supplying blood to our heart and brain, it can cause strokes and heart attacks. So controlling inflammation is very important. Inflammation can be increased by these fat cells which accumulate in us, and that makes it very important that we keep our weight in check. It can be caused by stress. And inflammation is now known to even cause cancer, and we know even gaining weight increases our risk of cancer.
Yeah, I think I like to liken it back to the, well, I know my typical examples are always of cars, but that's what people seem to understand, since the car is what gets them around and makes their life work. So let's say that you don't change your oil and your oil gets really thick and it starts to glob up on the sides. It's really about, I think of that as fat, you know, as you're not giving the system what it needs. So it scavenges all that it can out of that oil. And there's just this thick, mucky residue on the side that just can't do the job anymore. And you keep going and going and going, and eventually the system will just glob up and fail, which is, you know, systems in diabetes or, you know, bad blood vessels or your heart isn't working or in your brain, things are getting in there. They aren't getting metabolized correctly. You're not giving the right fuel to it, and it doesn't have a way of getting it out. So what's going in has to be used and then has to get out. That's the process of a functioning machine. And if you aren't following those three parameters and making wise choices in all three of those parameters, it's just a simple machine. It's not going to work. Our body is complex, but our body is also still a simple machine. You put in the food, it needs to be able to use it effectively in the mode in which it came in, and it effectively needs to be gone out. So what you eat as your nutrition, how your body works, and then how it detoxes itself is a simple machine. So if we start to think of it as simply as that and say, I have choices along the way. If it breaks down, it's totally up to me because there's nothing that's putting it into my face. I need to make those decisions. And that's really what we have to come down to is responsibility for making those decisions.
Well, I think that you brought up a great point. And one of the examples for choosing a good food versus bad food, which we give, is if we have an option of choosing between steak and protein powder or shakes. Normally, it's advertised to us that protein powders and shakes are good for us. Now, they are good for building muscles and they're good for exercise when we are trying to build muscles. But when we are talking about weight loss, steak or a real food is better than a artificial food. And the reason for that is that when we eat steak, it causes us to go into a process of digestion, which means that when we eat the steak, we got to crush it in our mouth, then it falls into our stomach where it is churned into a mush, and then finally it goes into our intestines where enzymes come and break it down into simpler amino acid, and then they get absorbed. Now, this is a big process, and this process by itself consumes 35% of the calories in that steak. But when we drink protein powder or shake, it is already in an amino acid form. The moment we drink it, it just goes straight in. Our body doesn't have to do much work, and all the calories hit us at one time. So it is very important that when we are choosing the food, we should choose natural foods. We should choose real foods. Processed bread are not good, but if you have a handmade whole grain bread, that's a lot better for us to eat. So when we are choosing diet on everyday diet, for example, say you got a choice between an ice cream and an apple, choose an apple. But say you really want to eat the ice cream, then you can have one scoop of ice cream and mix some berries in it, mix a strawberry or berries in it to increase the amount of natural food in it so that we are not only eating, but also helping our body work for it. And when we help our body work for the food that we are eating, we are increasing our metabolism almost by 30 to 35%. So during our daily activity, we just have to choose the right food. We always look at the food, and you always tell yourself which food will make my gut system work the hardest, which food will give my gut system a good workout, and that's the food that you choose.
And that's really exercising of your body and the motions that it's supposed to do. That's really getting the machine, as I just said, getting the machine to be able to do the job that it was made to do. And that's why that's so vitally important. Let's talk a little bit about the gut, the bacteria in the gut, because I think this is a topic so widely put out in the media these days. You know, oh, this is your probiotics, and you just take them and they're in your yogurt. And, you know, then they have the controversy, exactly what is in your yogurt? And then they go down and, you know, we can go down rabbit holes all day long. But really, it's about your body does have bacteria in it that are essential to your body to be able to take your food, take out the fuel, and then be able to eliminate what it doesn't need. And how important is the bacteria in our gut? And what can you tell us about that?
So the bacteria in the gut, it all started with this simple rat experiment. What they did was the scientists, they took obese rats, which are what we call as obese rats in the labs, and they made them go through a gastric bypass surgery. And what they found was the rat group which went through the gastric bypass surgery lost weight. Then they took the bacteria, the stool from that bacteria, that rat group, and put it into another set of obese rat group, which did not go through this surgery. So basically, it's transfer of bacteria from one to another. What they found was that the second rat group, which was obese, also lost weight without going through the gastric bypass surgery. So then we realized that it's not just the surgery, the portioning of the stomach in gastric bypass that causes weight loss. It is the change in the bacteria. And as we look into it, we got trillions of bacteria in our stomach. We thought they were inactive, but they are very active. What they are doing is every single day they are hacking into our brain, which is like a computer. They hack into our brain through chemical signals from the stomach and intestines, and then they make our brain crave the food they want. And that is how these bacteria survive. So if we are drinking processed sugar, say we are drinking soda every day, if we are eating processed food, we are eating too high sugar food, we have bad bacteria in our stomach, which will keep on making us crave bad food because that's what it lives on. On the other hand, if we change our diet to a good diet, which is a high protein diet, eating regularly 3 to 4 times a day and drinking plenty of water, not drinking too much sugar and eating, getting high fiber in our diet. When we do that, our bacteria changes into a good kind of bacteria in our stomach. Now, these bacteria are good, but they also hack our brain to get the food they want. And luckily, they want good kind of food. So if we go on a good diet, a healthy diet, what we find is 3 or 4 months later, when we have this good bacteria in our stomach, it becomes a lot easier to do these diets just because now we are craving good foods. We are not craving bad foods anymore. So that's the importance of these bacteria in our stomach. We can actually use them to help us lose weight.
So let's talk about what really affects the bacteria in their stomach. You know, we all know antibiotics is number one, but also, too, the institution of putting in what I call dead food. Dead food would be microwaved food. Dead food might be food that was so overly processed you almost can't identify it. Or dead food would be something that is just a chemical experiment, more or less. It's not even food anymore. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And that's another argument to stick with natural foods, because these natural foods promote good bacteria in our stomach. We are all gaining weight is because of so much of preponderance of processed food in our markets. We have access to processed food way more than what we have access to natural foods, and natural foods are more expensive nowadays, and processed unidentifiable foods are much more cheaper. So we know that these are causing us to gain weight just because they change the bacterial composition of our body. So we have to stick to natural foods so that we can keep our bacteria in our body healthy.
And it's unfortunate that food has gotten so expensive, which I think is the increase in local farming, and it's also the increase in people putting, growing some things in their own backyard so they can help decrease some of those high charges. You know, you can buy an expensive car and you will think that that's better, but it's really not. But in food, you've really got to buy sometimes the food that is a little bit more expensive, or you're able to grow in your own yard, which really would benefit you. So it's really hard for people to understand that concept, you know, exactly what they should be choosing and where they are in their financial situation. It's kind of hard for a lot of people to be able to say, you want me to eat all this food and I don't know if I can afford it. So really, when you have to look at it, you have to say, what is the financial gain or burden here on being able to lose weight, which so many people will tell you that's why they give up.
Well, I think you're right, and natural foods are definitely more expensive. Organic foods are even more expensive. So we always have to look at a food item and see what is the option I have which I can use, which makes my gut work out more, makes my digestive process to involve more, not the foods which are easy to eat. For example, a small piece of candy can have almost 13 packets of sugar in it, so we should try to avoid that. Same thing goes for sodas. Instead of sodas, if we can squeeze juice from one orange, it's way better than drinking a whole bottle of soda. They did an experiment on rats about soda too. What they found was when they gave this rat a sugary soda, it ate more that day. And if they kept on giving the rat a sugary soda, it kept on eating more and more and more and started showing uncontrolled binge eating behavior. And how many times every single day many of us drink soda every morning, and we think it's all about calories, but it is also causing us to have uncontrolled eating behavior for next few days to next few weeks. So many times we just have to cut out some of the foods in our in our daily life, which is not useful for us. We know we can live without a soda, and instead we can drink water, squeeze some lemon into it to give some flavor, or squeeze an orange into it to give some flavor. And rather than we trying to keep that soda in our life and keep on gaining weight, we can eliminate the soda, we can eliminate the cost of that soda, and still have a good alternative. So there is always an alternative.
And also, let's talk for a second about the idea of sugar. Some people, recently I had been with them at a meal, and there was all of those colored packets on the table. And one woman had said, my doctor said I can't have sugar. So she said, okay, she picked up one of the other packets there, and she read on the back, and it says non-sugar. She said, oh, this has no sugar, so I can have this. And really, was that a best choice? And probably the answer is no. I think sometimes we, in lieu of do I do a chemical or do I do a sugar, I think in that case it would be let's reduce your sugar versus now instead of hyping up your chemicals, because then you're really into a whole other paradigm of disease and issues later on down the road, right?
Well, I think you're right, and I'll use your example of I'll steal the example of your car. And mm-hmm. use it. So if you have a car which goes on petroleum and we decide to put diesel in that car, that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, our body is required to get sugar. And when we try to fool our brain that we are going to give it something sweet and it's not sugar, it does not work. And why it does not work is based on a research which the scientists did on people who drank at least one diet soda a day. What they found out that their brain had rewired itself and it was craving more junk food, solid food. Because our brain is smart, our brain knows that if you're going to give me a liquid sugar, a liquid sweet drink, and it may not be sugar. So it switches our cravings from liquid to solid junk food. And many a times patients come into my practice, they have severe cravings for junk food. And the only way to control those cravings is to make them stop drinking the diet drinks, make them stop having these artificial non-sugar sweeteners. And then only after a few weeks, their cravings go away and they are able to stick to their diet. If we want to have sugar, the best sugar would be a sugar cane sugar, but
right.
in limited quantity, but it should be natural sugar, but not these artificial sweeteners.
Right. So what we're both saying since the beginning of this show is that when we are making these choices are not towards synthetic, alternative, chemical, processed, whatever you want to call it these days. You know, I'm sure they'll come up with another word about food. But we really don't want to always add those in place of real food. It's really about eating real food. And with the SlimPlate system, you can be able to look at the plate and say, I put protein here, I put vegetables here, I put bread here, I put a drink here, I put muffin here, this is the size, waffle here, that's the size, sandwich here, this is the size, and make life simpler.
Well, I think you're right, and we have to keep our diet easy to do, and that's very, very important, because then we are setting up ourselves for success.
Right.
And the SlimPlate system was designed to keep it easy.
Yeah, and sometimes we make it so hard, you know, I think people find it irrational to be able to even continue on. I know when you go to a restaurant and you get an appetizer these days, the appetizer is pretty much what you should be eating for a meal, you know. And or when you go and you have a lunch and they say endless fries, why do you need endless fries, you know? And then your proportions get way out of control because your hamburger is tiny, your protein, but then you've got enough fries that you might have eaten in a whole month normally. So it's all about thinking, you know, do I really need all of that? And what can I eat that will help my machine, as we would say, work efficiently? That's really the goal.
I think you're right. And whenever you see a sign which says unlimited food you can have for a fixed price, don't go there. Because if you go there, you're going to eat more, your insulin spike would be higher, you're going to pack more pounds. So it is a no-no. So if you always go to a place which gives you fixed food for a fixed price.
Let's talk for just a second about vegetables. You know, a lot of people say they're a vegetarian and they're going to go in and they can, oh my gosh, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I'm going to have my green drink in the morning, and at lunchtime, I'm going to go to those big box stores and they've got this big container there, and I'm going to pack that sucker down with everything that's, quote, on the salad bar. Well, whatever's on that, quote, salad bar, you can still rake up, you know, 10,000-15,000 calories on there. Are you kidding? You know, and also you're into these proportions that are crazy just because they said, quote, it's salad, quote, it's vegetables. It's not always all things that are vegetables there. In other words, you don't need to have 10 big soup scoops of corn in there or 10 scoops of beans in there, or maybe they've got rice on there or that crazy dressing. So it's really about knowing a little bit more about the food you're choosing.
I think you're right, and the dressing is key. When we are eating salad, we should not put more than 1 tablespoon of dressing on that salad. If we are putting more than that, we are getting a lot of calories. We need to understand that sometimes even 1 tablespoon of calories more than 100 calories. I'm sorry, 1 tablespoon of dressing is more than 100 calories. So we got to be very careful even when we are trying to do vegan is that we have to be very careful about our proportions. We need to know which foods have high protein in the vegetarian diet, and we need to use those in addition to not missing our carbs completely also, because there is always a risk in vegetarian diet that we are turning our diet into a high-carb diet, and that is something we need to avoid.
Right. And I know so many people will say, I did that at lunchtime, and then they blow it in the evening. You know, green drink for breakfast, salad for lunch, how high can I go? And then, you know, for dinner, oh, I ate good. I'm just going to pack it on. I'll eat whatever I want. So can you talk to me a little bit about, you have a little character on the front of your book. What's that all about? Because it's all throughout the book, and I think that that's great.
Right. The character on the book is Mr. Rats. We basically dedicated our book to all the rats in the laboratory who sacrifice their life every day to make us learn more about the human system. And when you look at these stories, there are some stories about, you know, different rats and what they have to go through so that we can learn more from them and actually use them. So we decided the book should be about the rats stories about these rats in the labs, and how we know from them that how easy it is to lose weight. We just need to do it in the right way.
I think it's so funny to have infused the character all through the book. It just makes so light of a subject that we can all say we've all had to laugh together, you know. And there's so many times in here when you could just look at the character and you could just laugh and say, that's me too, you know. And it kind of humanizes the story, because really that's what it's all about. It's not about something outside of yourself. It's really something about inside yourself and how your food that's coming in is really touching your body and helping you work. And it was just a great genius idea. Let's talk, can we, in closing, just briefly touch on exercise? Because, you know, really we're talking about a slim plate system and, oh, quote, am I going to lose weight? But is there exercise that's essential to be able to have it in the book to be able to lose the weight? You know, going back again, we think of the car. Well, you know, you have to drive it. If you put in gas and oil and let your car in the garage for the next year or 2 years, it might not work. So, hey, it does need exercise. It needs to get out and function, right?
Well, it does need exercise. But one thing we have to realize is that 90% of our weight loss will come from what we eat and how we eat and when we eat. It will not come from exercise. Only 10% of the weight loss comes from exercise. So if we always think, oh, it's too cold outside, I cannot start exercising yet, that is not an excuse not to start losing weight, because we have to fix our diet, which will give us the maximum weight loss. Exercises enhances weight loss, but most weight loss comes from what we eat, how we eat, and when we eat. Also, we need to understand that when we are exercising, muscle-building exercises are way better than aerobic exercise to lose weight for two reasons. Number one, that it builds our muscles. When we build muscles, the muscles secrete an enzyme called incretin, which converts white fat in our body into brown fat. Now, white fat is not the kind of fat we want. Brown fat has a lot of battery-like mitochondria in it, which is our fat-burning mode. So exercise, building muscles, can change our white fat into brown fat, put it into a fat-burning mode, making our dieting even more effective. But if you have it have a choice between diet and exercise to lose weight, choose diet because 90% of your weight loss would come from the diet.
Right. And don't think that you can overskirt the system and say, I'm going to keep running and running and running my body and just not giving it what it needs, and it will start doing what it is told to do. You know, let's get a little bit of that aggression and abuse of our own bodies out of the system, I think. You know, we really have to say, what does my body need? And say, okay, I'm going to honor it. I'm not going to abuse it. I'm not going to put it down and say that this is what a machine I was given, and this is the way it's going to work. You know, sometimes when you go against the system, that's really where you've been all these years and all these decades. So I guess really it's time to start going with the system, and the system is the health of your body.
I think you're absolutely right. The car has to get the good kind of gasoline.
Right. We just have to do what it has to do. Well, Dr. Sandahl, it was a great time having you with us today. Could you share with the author? I'm sorry. Could you share with the listeners your website for the book and also for the Slim Plate system? That would be great.
Well, website for the Slim Plate system is slimplatesystem.com, and the website also has a free weight loss program which anyone can join. Just put your email address and you will get all the instructions. So I would encourage everybody to check that and participate in it. It's called slimplatesystem.com. And the website for the book is fatmenotbook.com. You can also get the book from almost any major retailer, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. It's also available on Kindle. The book website is fatmenotbook.com.
And also, is this something that any age can do? Regardless of, let's say, your medical conditions, or regardless of your age or your situation in life, do you think that it's so important that everyone should eat this way, or is there a lot of restrictions on doing this weight loss program?
No, we think everyone should eat this way, and even children, because you know, even kids in our society are exposed to so big portions of food that it all just makes sense. So Slim Plate system is for every age, and it's also for you know, every health condition. Mm-hmm. Because mainly what we are doing is helping you eat right, which we were supposed to do anyways from before.
Yeah, I think once you adults do it and their children see, then it's not like you have to make separate food. Everyone eats the same thing, and then you have children who are also eating correctly, and they can pass that on to their children. It's all about what you really eat at home when you're growing up. You know, I grew up in the 50s and the 60s in the Northeast, where everything came from the butcher, the dairy, or the farmer down the street. So I know how to eat. And when I am living in a different culture or in a different part of the U.S., I notice that those options are not available to me anymore, and I can guarantee you I will gain weight in the situation in which I'm in. But when I go to another area that supports, or another group that will support the way that I used to eat and the way that I enjoy eating for my body, then I will lose weight. So it's really all about putting and ingraining some seeds in your body and saying, this is what your body needs, and you know it. It's just about being able to say it's time to bring that forth and continue it through your life, right?
I think you're absolutely right. The whole food industry is against us because they keep on serving us big portions of food.
Yeah.
So we have to take charge, and we have to make sure what goes into our body, not them.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Grewal, it's a pleasure to have you with us today. I think this is a great idea to talk about this today because there's so many ideas with these diets. You know, I see some people. I even had an acquaintance where their person was trying to lose weight and they only eat like one meal a day, but they drank 3 2-liters of Coke an entire day, every single day. Because they said, I'm just thirsty, but I'm not going to eat. And it's like, how skewed is that thought? So really, we don't want to go down the skewed line. We really want to talk about eating right food, correct?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. We know the soda can change our eating behavior, so drinking 2 liters of soda a day will definitely cause us to gain weight no matter how much we eat, even if we don't eat. But we have to be careful. We can also, you know, the positive thing about it is once we quit the soda completely, we will automatically lose weight. We don't have to do anything else more.
Right.
So we can always see what we are doing wrong, and then we can always use it to help us lose weight just by eliminating it from our daily life.
We can always make a change. It's just up to us. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about the book is Fat Me Not, Weight Loss Diet of the Future. And it is also about to go with the Slim Plate System. So please do check that out. Boy, that's a hard thing for me to say today. Slim Plate System. And what it is about, different sizes of plates, they have little colored markers on them, and they'll say this is how much protein, and this is how much carbohydrates, this is how much for drink, and you just be able to coordinate your food into those spaces, and you will be able to control how much you would eat, because you really don't want to have these big, huge dishes. Dishes are getting bigger and bigger these days, because they're artisanal, you know, plates or whatever. And really, it's about saying, I'm going to eat this now. I'm going to wait a few hours. I'm going to eat this later, and then I'll eat that later. And it's about giving yourself consistent food throughout the day. And not about starving yourself, limiting yourself, or saying, you know, oh, well, I can't have it because it's not on my diet. Well, you can have it. It's just about the size. So thank you so much for joining us today. It was a great topic with Dr. Sandeep Grewal today, and we're talking about weight loss. Please do check on the bottom of today's show page for the links to the Fat Me Not book and the Slim Plate System. It was a pleasure having you with us, and join us again tomorrow for another topic. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and have a great day. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone, or the television remote, or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.